The Gospel according to John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things came to be, not one thing had its being but through him. All that came to be had life in him, and that life was the light of man, a light that shines in the dark, a light that darkness could not overpower. A man came, sent by God. His name was John. He came as a witness to speak for the light, so that everyone might believe through him. He was not the light, only a witness to speak for the light. The Word was the true light that enlightens all men, and he was coming into the world. He was in the world that had its being through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own domain, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who did accept him, he gave power to become children of God, to all who believe in the name of him who was born not out of human stock or urge of the flesh or will of man, but of God himself. The Word was made flesh. He lived among us, and we saw his glory, the glory that is his as the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. John appears as his witness. He proclaims, "This is the one of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me because he existed before me.' Indeed, from his fullness we have, all of us, received grace. Yes, grace in return for grace. Since though the law was given through Moses, grace and truth have come through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is only the Son, the only Son, who is nearest to the Father's heart, who has made him known." It's the last day of the year, calendar year, and each year goes out with a bang, a loud and quite expensive show of sound. What is it then that brings in the new year? The passage of a second, or any portion of a second? But seriously, well, all right, fireworks and a kaleidoscope of lights, but they cost a penny too. They're wonderful for occasions like this, and even somehow provide a telling symbol of the future. Like onlookers watching the fireworks show, we've some idea from previous showings how things will turn out, but we must be prepared for surprises, unexpected shapes and sounds, and we've no idea how wise we are to keep hoping for the best of times ahead. So what is it all about? For disciples of Jesus, it is, as St. John said in his first letter, it's about the Word. The Word, he stresses, this is our subject. The very first words of his Gospel, which we've just heard, surely echoing Genesis, are, "In the beginning." Could we not have waited until the 1st of January for a Gospel passage that begins with the words, "In the beginning"? No, I don't think so. After all, even our newspapers, as well as television and radio programs, spend a good deal of ink and airtime on the last day of the year, going back to the beginning. Not the beginning of all time, but the start of 2010, tracing events, progress, problems that have marked the year that's closing. While we are celebrating the Eucharist during the Christmas season, we sing a preface to the Eucharistic prayer, and intone with confidence, with thanksgiving, and with pride, "Today in him a new age has dawned. Today you fill our hearts with joy. Today a Saviour is born to us." And we don't mean only on the 25th of December, when we begin the festival, nor do we mean by today any one or all of the 12 days of Christmas. No, for a disciple, the birth of Christ is constantly today, as is his set of parables, his miracles of compassion, his teaching, not to mention his passion. In the life of resurrection, his significance has been raised above the past, present, and future landscape of our history, and so can reach into every crevice of our searching and often pondering heart. Today, as you listen, Christ can crown the year that is ending for you and support you with the spiritual and moral equivalent of the best vitamins, precisely to support you in life and in living. If the very Word of God was made flesh and thus vulnerable, hungry and thirsty, frightened on one occasion even to the extent of sweating blood, the disciples of this divine Word cannot claim any right to sidestep the struggles that the flesh involves. Part of the good news for us year in, year out, is that the Saviour has passed this way and can still be a word of advice and a beam of guidance, even when the fireworks of midnight on December 31 allow the darkness of night to regain its prominence for a few hours anyhow. As a kiss between loving partners at year's end, year's beginning, is somehow please and thank you combined, so our renewal of union with Christ our Saviour is a hymn of thanksgiving for time past and fresh time about to dawn, and also a plea for mercy, a prayer for compassion and forgiveness that is expressed with some hope, for we know deep down we are addressing our prayer in the right direction. Blessings to you who listen today and on the new today that will be 1st of January 2011.